My Peace, a Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
It will look like suffering, like death, like the worst thing that could ever happen. But Jesus assures them, it is my peace, and I give it to you.
And for any size donation during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the first Pentecost. You can make a special Easter gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the 50 days of Easter.
My laboratory, it's actually one of the main interests is to understand what the factors that are responsible for this magic transformation of any cells into young embryo-like cell. We had to find the perfect combination of these electric pulses that egg need plus concentration of this chemical. The procedures that we developed actually are very efficient to make stem cells, but it's unlikely that this will be very useful for kind of reproductive cloning.
That's Shukrat Batalipov of the Oregon Health and Science University talking about some claims he's making and fellow scientists are making in a recent medical journal that they've been able to clone human embryos capable of producing embryonic stem cells. Now, does this immediately raise flags? Stem cells themselves are something of a miracle of creation, but the big question is always, where are we getting them? Are we getting them from human embryos? Are human embryos being destroyed in order to harvest stem cells? The ethical line is drawn right there. Does this cross that line? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 16th of May. Dr. David Prentice of the Family Research Council will be our guest for the first few minutes to talk about these claims being made in the medical journal about embryonic stem cells and human cloning. Terry Mattingly joins us after that from GetReligion.org and Scripps Howard News Service. He's going to discuss how the media uses and sometimes misuses the terms fetus and baby. And then we'll get a review of the movie Iron Man 3, a huge blockbuster, number one movie in the world, not just in the United States, but in the world. Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. David Prentice is a regular guest. He's Senior Fellow for Life Sciences for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. Spent 20 years as a professor of life sciences at Indiana State University and as adjunct professor of medical and molecular genetics at Indiana University School of Medicine. Dr. Prentice, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Does this cross the line that we have often drawn here ethically when it comes to stem cells as to whether or not human embryos are destroyed in order to harvest the stem cells?
Well, the short answer is yes. Despite what they might say and people might hear about this magical transformation of a skin cell into embryonic stem cells, the way they get there is by first creating an embryo, a cloned human embryo, made just the same way that Dolly the cloned sheep was made. Only what they did then was only let this embryo grow for about a week in the laboratory and then killed it to put its cells into the dish to get those embryonic stem cells. So this definitely crosses a line. In fact, it probably crosses two or three lines, ethical problems that crop up in doing this. Number one, cloning. What you're doing is not the old-fashioned way to make an embryo like we're familiar with. Combine an egg with a sperm, you start growth of this young human being, and hopefully it makes it to birth and onward. This doesn't use sperm. It takes an egg, though, but it takes the egg's chromosomes out and then substitutes them with the nucleus, the chromosomes, from a skin cell. Now, you still get an embryo, and you start that embryo growing, but then what you do is you destroy it to get those embryonic stem cells. You're specifically creating this young human being just so you can do an experiment with this young life and end its life to get those embryonic stem cells.
Now, the term that I heard used in the media a couple of days ago when this announcement first came out was somatic cell nuclear transfer. What is that?
That's the technical term for cloning. And if you break that term down, it describes the process of what we call cloning. Somatic cell, that's just an ordinary body cell like a skin cell. Nuclear transfer, I'm transferring the nucleus, the chromosome repository inside a normal cell. I'm transferring it into that egg. An egg is a key ingredient here, just like it is for normal reproduction with an egg and a sperm. The egg has different proteins and other factors that start development of a young life. Only in this case, we're not using a sperm and the X chromosomes. We're taking the X chromosomes out. We're transferring the nucleus, all of the chromosomes, from a somatic cell, a skin cell. You start that growing, though, and again, this is how you got Dolly the cloned sheep and all the cloned cats and cows and dogs you keep hearing about. It's just that in those cases with the animals, they went ahead and put this cloned embryo into a womb and let them gestate to birth. But in the current case with the human embryos, they didn't let them grow very long, about a week in the lab, and then they destroy them to harvest those embryonic stem cells.
With respect to the cloning aspect of this, we heard one of the researchers here, Shukrat Mittalapov, talking about the fact that, well, what he said in the open was it's unlikely that this will be very useful for the kind of reproductive cloning. Now, that term reproductive cloning, should it raise a red flag for us?
It definitely should raise a red flag. Any type of cloning, of course, involves reproducing an individual with those particular genes, for example, from my skin cell, and starting a clone, a copy, but a new organism. When they say reproductive cloning, they're talking about one of the possible ends for that young human embryo. And for reproductive, they would have implanted it into a womb and tried to gestate that individual to birth. The other term you may hear is therapeutic cloning. Now, it sounds good, but it's not, because you make the clone the same way, but in this case, just as they did with this experiment, you destroy the clone and put his or her cells into the dish for experiments. And in fact, it's not therapeutic then for the embryo. The embryo dies in the process. And by the way, there are no therapies from doing this and getting embryonic stem cells. It's simply a different process and what you do with that embryo. It's not a different type of cloning.
So we're not talking here about adult stem cells, the stem cells that are often derived elsewhere from adult human bodies that are made without the destruction of human embryos. There is no doubt that in this process, no matter how it is construed or described in the press, a human embryo, in this case by cloning, is produced in the lab and then destroyed to get stem cells.
That's exactly it. And you mentioned the adult stem cells. In point of fact, cloning as a technique to get stem cells, embryonic stem cells in this case, is really kind of an old-fashioned technique. And I've even seen some embryonic stem cell scientists talking about, why is anybody still trying to do this? We've got better ways, in fact, ethical ways to get stem cells. The adult stem cells you mentioned are treating over 60,000 patients a year around the globe successfully for dozens of different conditions. And you can use bone marrow or umbilical cord blood or lots of different body tissues without destroying or harming the donor, completely ethical way and successful. And there's even another way called induced pluripotent stem cells. The Japanese doctor who developed it got the Nobel Prize just a few months ago for developing it. And in that one, you take a skin cell, but you don't make an embryo, you don't use eggs or do cloning, you add a couple of genes and you sort of reprogram it like reprogramming a computer so it looks and acts like an embryonic stem cell. And a lot of the scientists who have looked at this cloning experiment go, there's no reason to do this. You're not going to get matched tissue. You have to use lots of women's eggs, which is a whole nother ethical problem. You have to get women to come in, to pay them to come in, to get high doses of hormones, to get lots of eggs for this procedure. You again have to create and destroy a young human being. This is really just old science fraught with lots of ethical problems.
So the picture that I have in front of me, a little diagram of this process, has at the very end a petri dish with various stem cells growing in it, and then kind of magically with little arrows popping out are liver cells, muscle cells, nerve cells. That end of the diagram there has not come true.
It hasn't. No, it hasn't at all. And in some diagrams, they will even show those going into patients and happy, smiling people and so on, or jumping out of wheelchairs. That has not happened with embryonic stem cells at all, cloned or from fertilized embryos. Embryonic stem cells are an unproven stem cell when it comes to treating any patient, whereas adult stem cells taken from your own body or from a matched donor, or from umbilical cord blood, those actually work, and they're working right now.
Finally, then, is cloning of human embryos capable of producing embryonic stem cells? Is this, as we've just heard about it, scientific progress? About a minute.
Well, progress, well, you know, some scientists would call that progress, but I suppose developing a more lethal atomic bomb could be considered atomic progress. This has lots of ethical problems, and in fact, it's not useful in terms of efficiency for embryonic stem cells. It's just opened the door to actually having born clones. It's not progress in that sense. It's not ethical progress, definitely.
Dr. David Prentice is Senior Fellow for Life Sciences for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. Spent 20 years as a professor of life sciences at Indiana State University and as adjunct professor of medical and molecular genetics at Indiana University School of Medicine. We'll post a link to the Family Research Council at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Prentice, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service. You might have noticed in the coverage of two rather gruesome and terrible stories, the Kermit Gosnell trial and the story of Ariel Castro, who tortured three women over the course of 10 years, that the term fetus and baby are getting mixed up. We'll talk about that after this.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.